Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, 52. Vakasavadhanavad. Trying to describe the experience of pure love of Godhead is like a mute's effort to describe what he tastes. Purport. Even a qualified devotee may not be able to put his exact experience of love of Godhead into words. Language has its limits for conveying experience, but it may function like the branch of the tree that helps us locate the moon in the sky. In describing the gradual development of bhakti, Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, compared it to an intensifying taste of sweetness. Quote, gradual development of the love of God may be compared to different states of sugar. First there is the seed of the sugar cane, then sugar cane, then the juice extracted from the cane. When this juice is boiled, it forms liquid molasses, then solid molasses, then sugar, candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 19.179. Lord Chaitanya went on to describe the combination of devotional ecstasies known as sattvika and vyabhichari. These tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, black pepper, and camphor, and are as palatable as sweet nectar. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 19.182. There is nothing deceptive or incomplete in this language. And yet it is language, the branch pointing to the moon in the sky. At the hearing of the taste of love of Godhead, a devotee should aspire for that love and practice devotional service that he may taste it for himself. Nara does not say that the subject matter of bhakti is something so vague and inconceivable that it can never be known or spoken of. His point is that the individual and ultimate experience is so wonderful that it is very hard to describe. One should not glibly say, I know everything about love of Krishna. Well, the gopis always chanted the glories of Krishna. They were sometimes struck dumb, Srila Prabhupada writes. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can have just a glimpse of such ecstasies in the words of Narada Muni, Bhagavatam 1.6.17. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sitaitanya Mano Bhishnam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Shrishe Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyashta Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from New Jersey. I'm staying with Professor Bryant here for a few days. It was really nice yesterday. I taught his classes all day. And it's really amazing how he's represented the bhakti tradition in a major university in a very wonderful way. He's giving one course on the Bhagavatam, and it's a 3-hour seminar twice a week. And it's pretty much packed. I mean, there are 30, 40 students in the room. And they, you know, he told me they do the eighth canto, and I can just pick out some verses in the eighth canto and discuss them. So I did Gajendra Moksha. And it was academic in the sense that that's the class. They read all the verses in a chapter, just the verses, and then they go over some of them, and I went over and expressed the meaning. But there's so much deep philosophical and transformatory information. So it's kind of wonderful, almost like a milestone, you know, almost like a milestone in a university that, you know, they can discuss a spiritual text like that. And it was wonderful. I just completely, 3-hour Bhagavatam. And really wonderful to see Gail's daughter in the front row, following in the footsteps of her mother, relishing the class and asking questions. She was quite shocked to see me, as Gail was quite shocked to find out that she wasn't informed. But it was kind of a last-minute thing. And then in the after, that was 3 hours, and then at for an hour and a half seminar, again, there must have been 60 people there. There was discussing Hindu philosophy. They're discussing Ramanuja, and they had a very philosophical text. So Professor Bryant gave me the handout to read last week. And I was reading the handout, and actually, I just got it when I came here to his place. And when I got the handout, he just asked me to lecture on one chapter. So the chapter was Vaikuntha. So basically, I was able to explain from the Vaishnava perspective the Guna Brahman, how the absolute reality has qualities. Have to mute your phone. Then we had the Bhakti Club in Bhagavad Gita. So that was really nice. So we've been discussing bhakti, and we discussed the long section on how to attain bhakti. And now the class is, this is the problem when I'm on this phone, that I don't have the controls. Anyway, I'll get the controls on this phone so I can mute it. I remember we used to do this, but now it's, he wants to describe something about bhakti, but real bhakti. And real bhakti is not just created by ourselves. It's a combination of the love that manifests in our hearts that allows us to serve Krishna by becoming a receptacle for Krishna's own potency of love. But you love Krishna so much that you become qualified to please Krishna by having the energy of love, his own eternally manifest energy of frame, love of Godhead, manifest in your heart and to reflect back to, because that's God's ultimate enjoyment, and that's his ultimate reality. Rasa vai saha, this rasa, this exchange of energy. Mayachitad apasrayam, the maya, the energy, exchange of that energy. And we're offering ourselves to God. We're offering the love in our heart to God, but there's also an energy that allows us to please God. And advanced practitioners, therefore, they're not affected by anything material. And I know people who are in pain with their bhajan and spiritual practices get more intense because it as Satchinandana Swami would sometimes quote, you know, it's not that you chant the name, but the name is chanting you. There's something very wonderful that manifests. There's something very wonderful that comes. And so he wants to describe that. He's been explaining. He wants to describe real bhakti, real devotion, that wonderful energy, the essence of Krishna's own bliss potency. So he was describing how to attain it. He was describing, in one sense, what it is. But now he wants to describe more or less what it is in terms of not just the feelings in our heart, the purity and intention in our heart, but what the experience of that is. That's real bhakti. What the experience of that love and that devotion in our heart, that's real bhakti. And he wants to describe this, which is so rare and so transcendental. But before he describes it, he's saying, how can I describe it? It's really not possible to describe. It's beyond description. And now he's giving an example how it's beyond description, like a person who is mute trying to explain what a flavor is like. It's very, very difficult. He doesn't have his capacity, his instrument for description is not suitable for the expression of what one is has experienced. And it's kind of a nice example. Prabhupada and the Purport also describe like someone who is trying to describe sex desires to someone who's not mature. It's not within their experience. And the basis of languages is words represent things that people have experienced. And therefore, by saying the word, which correlates with your experience, then the other person hearing the word can understand what you're talking about. But if you did not have the capacity to have that experience, how will it be communicated to you? And in terms of the person himself, does he have the capacity to put it in words? Or are there words that actually describe that experience? When the person hearing those words doesn't have that experience, so how will he understand that experience by words without having had that experience first? The example sometimes given by Prabhupada is people on an island that have never experienced the taste of sweetness. And they have all the other experiences. They have sour things on the island, they have bitter, they have pungent, they have salty, and they have hot things. But they've never experienced sweet. So if someone experiences that sweetness and goes back to the island, how will he communicate that? That's why he'll just say it's not this, it's not this, it's a taste. You say it's a taste. But, you know, the experience, he can't say it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, which is why sometimes the absolute reality is described as, and it may be 18, 18, 18. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. It's nothing here. That's the best I can do for you. I can't give you the positive experience. I can't explain the positive. You don't have that yet. So he gives some examples from Chaitanya Charitamrita how the progressive intensity of love of Godhead is like the process of making rock candy or molasses. It goes through stages of sweetness and sweetness and more and thick and thick and thick. But is that what it actually is? So the example is given is like words being like you want to point to the moon. So the frame of reference is the branches of the tree. But the branches of the tree, experiencing the branches of the tree, will not enable you to experience the moon, but it will point you in that direction. And that's basically what the process of bhakti is. The teacher communicates with words, and it gives you an understanding. And if you're submissive, and here with faith, something will come beyond that experience. I always give the example that the Bhagavatam is not just ink and paper, it's Krishna. And if you respond to it in the proper way, you'll get more than just the meaning. It'll be experiential. It'll be the experience of Krishna through words. And people who sincerely hear the Bhagavatam, they can understand what I'm talking about now. So he gives various examples. He says, no mundane comparison. It's very difficult to express. This is in Narayana. It's like this. It's like this. It's like taste like yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, black pepper, camphor. Pointing to it. So Prakashate kvapi patre. Nevertheless, from time to time, pure love of God is revealed to those who qualify. So, there'll be an experience of it. That's when you'll understand it fully, when you'll have the experience of it. Of course, the experience may be there in stages, just like it's the gradual development of love of Godhead. It begins with sugar cane, the seed, sugar cane, juice from the sugar cane. So love of Godhead is that experience, that frame in its budding stage is called shraddha, or faith. It's some kind of experience of sublimity of serving Krishna. It's just not very deep or mature. But even in the beginning stages, by the mercy of Krishna, that experience can come. That's transcendental or supersensual. That's blissful, ecstatic, sublime. It gives you faith. It gives you faith. That's what faith is. This is a point that I'm harping on again and again and again. What is faith? Faith is what you value. Because of an experience of sublimity or a positive experience that gives you hope of sublimity. I was talking to someone today, an old friend of mine who had issues of faith. An old friend of mine. And he had issues of faith. And we discussed it. What is faith? how he felt he was losing faith. You know, and we had a discussion. How much of the faith is intellectual and how much of it is experiential, and what's the relationship between the two? The intellectual allows one to have the experiential. Without the intellectual, sometimes it's you won't endeavor for the experiential. But ultimately, the experiential resolves the intellectual. Or the importance of the intellectual recedes. I had that experience when I was in Vrindavan. When I'm sitting there in the kirtans in the temple and hearing the holy name and the feelings and experience that you get faith in the holy name. You understand what the Shastra is talking about. It makes all sense. And then any other minor philosophical discrepancies or things that you don't understand or don't like their presentation, etc., it seems insignificant because the words, which has led to the practice, have delivered the goods. So when one is a proper receptacle, then one can have that experience. That was also what I was stressing in my discussion with my old friend. You know, he says, why am I not experiencing God? I said, is God that cheap? You know, if without qualification you can experience God, is God that cheap? So you should look into your own heart and see the reasons why you don't experience God. What are the desires you have that announce to God that I don't want to surrender to you? I don't want you. Because wanting God means surrendering to God. Realizing God means to realize the glories of God and realize your position and function in relationship to God. It's all based on your desire. If your desire is not there, you can't just say, I want God, I want God. But what do you want? Do you want God as your servant? Do you want God to want to please you? Or do you want God to come and to serve God? If you don't want to serve God, you can't experience God. God is not your servant. So if you look at God in that way, you're not going to get God. And there's so many desires in our hearts that are so subtle. So many desires in our hearts that are so subtle. How to bring us to that point? When we want God, we have God. It's just a change of our desire. And when we don't want God, we don't get God. We get ourselves as the enjoyer and controller. A very, very deep thing. So some people become qualified and they have that experience. I'm looking at myself, not as qualified, unqualified. I'm looking at myself. What is it in me that needs to be developed? What are the things in me that, what do I have to surrender? How do I enter into that path of bhakti? It's no mystery. It's all in our hearts. And if we dig down deep and we can fully surrender to God, we will experience God without doubt. So, Prakashate Kvapi Patre. And we have so many examples that people who have attachments and see through those attachments rather than seeing through the mood of service, they'll see Radha and Krishna in terms of sense gratification, and therefore will not see Radha and Krishna. Because it's not just a form, it's in a condensed bhava or mood that's expressed in a form. The perfection of intensity is Radha and Krishna, the intensity to love and to serve. So, not so easy to understand these deep, deep subjects of that highest realm. It quotes from the CC. Lord Chaitanya confided to Ramananda, "Please rest assured that I have nothing to hide from you. Even if I try to hide something from you, you're such an advanced devotee that you can understand all my secrets. The facts which I have disclosed to you cannot be understood by materialistic people. When they hear this, they simply laugh at me. You can understand this yourself and keep it to yourself." As late as years, when Lord Chaitanya exhibited his pastimes of entering intensely into the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna, he shared this rasa only with his most intimate devotees, such as Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar. They can understand the Lord's moods, which sometimes produce displays of seeming madness, which ordinary words or behavior could not express. Quote, only a person on the level of Sri Damodar can fully understand what Lord Chaitanya tastes in his love for Krishna. I know when I'm in Vrindavan, the potency of Vrindavan helps people to have an experience that gives them a frame of reference to hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, especially in the places in which they were performed. Because the experience of love and devotion is what the forms of love and devotion are composed of. So, guna rahitam 54, kamana rahitam. Pratikshana vardamanam avichinam sukshmataram anubhava rupam. Buddha, material qualities, rahitam, devoid of kamana, material desire, rahitam, devoid of pratikshana, at every moment, vardamanam, increasing. Avichinam, uninterrupted. Sukshmataram, most subtle. Anubhava, consciousness. Rupam, its form. Pure love of Godhead manifest as the most subtle consciousness. Devoid of material qualities and material desires. Increasing at every step and never interrupted. People can misunderstand bhakti as mundane love, but Narada makes it clear. So he says he's trying to give a little indication. So when you do experience it, he's basically really almost describing it in a negative way. It'll have something of a form of qualities, but not material qualities. Have something of a form of desires, but not material desires. And it's shukshma Param, its most subtle Anubhav consciousness. It's not goodness, passion, or ignorance. They're not mundane. And kamana rahitam is no selfish desire. And that itself makes it not mundane. And the pleasure from it, it's not something that wanes. No, wanes, not dwanes. It's not something that wanes. It's not something that stops. Not something by our effort, by our work. It's not something material, which is temporary. It goes beyond our effort. It's something that flows through us and flows and flows and flows like a river. Which increases, as opposed to material love, material desires, which decrease. The Kundalini Shakti. Ever increasing pleasure that's described between gopis and Krishna. Krishna sees the Radha, he becomes happy. As he becomes happy, he becomes more beautiful. Radharani seeing his beauty, she becomes more happy, she becomes more beautiful. Krishna becomes more happy, he becomes more beautiful, she becomes more happy. It's ever increasing. And therefore, it cannot be stopped because it has no cause. You can't stop something that has no cause. You stop something by stopping the cause. Bhakti has no cause. You're not loving someone because you want something. So that objective for yourself is not the cause of this bhakti. And you cannot say that about mundane love. Therefore, in mundane love, when you cease getting something from it, then it ceases or ends. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ever increasing. Apurvata, I've never seen before. Chatmutkara. It's overwhelming wonder and enjoyment and astonishment and increasing. And it's very subtle, because even more subtle than the mind, intelligence, and ego is the soul. That what says in Bhagavad Gita 3:42. So it's not like material love or anything in the material world. It just has a corresponding form. So we hear about the form, we hear about the selflessness, we try to put it together, but that itself is not the experience. I'm really enjoying this Narada Bhakti Sutra. It's a quite terse, comprehensive and then what happens in text 55 when you actually get this in your heart. You actually get this love in your heart. That's all you do. You only see him. You only hear him. Your senses become completely overwhelmed. All your senses. Every one of your senses hears, smells, tastes, touches, and sees Krishna simultaneously. Krishna floods the senses. Radharani is Krishnamayi, and I do believe her disappearance day is a disciple of mine that passed away. wonderful young lady who passed away in Vrindavan in a very special way. I gave her the name Krishnamayi. Someone who's absorbed and filled with Krishna. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hi, Fish and Eyes. Gail here.
Hi, Bo, Gail.
Hi, Bo.
Gail, you have a wonderful daughter. I just want to say that.
Well, since you bring her up, I'll also tell you that she had an amazing experience with you in that class, that three-hour class, because, you know, up until the during that class, up until the time that you taught it, you know, she was really having like a kind of negative experience because she's accustomed to hearing about Krishna's more intimate side from you, you know. But during the class, since the class discusses the first several cantos of the Bhagavatam, you know, it describes Krishna in an awe and reverence, you know, God, Krishna as God aspect. And it was very heavy.
She
was very disheartened by that awe and reverence aspect of Krishna after hearing about the other side from you so much. And so when you led the class yesterday, you said she got everything that she needed. She was totally, you know, she just felt, you know, so, she was just so happy, you know, and she just connected with you so much, you know, especially in that way, but I think in other ways too, you know, she was so enlivened and happy after that class yesterday. And she really had a wonderful experience. She was ecstatic after that class. So.
When I came in, there was 40 students there. When I came in, out loud so everyone can hear, she said, "Oh, my God!"
And that was before the class.
That was before the class.
So imagine.
Wasn't that? I think, you know, Professor Bryant, you know, his specialty was studying Sankhya and the Yoga Sutras. So they go over cantos. So he can only, you know, what they do is they have the student read the cantos, and then he chooses sections. So I guess, you know, especially in the first cantos, he probably chose a lot of the sections that have to deal with Sankhya and analysis and philosophy, which is fascinating. I mean, I spoke on the eighth canto, so I spoke on Gajendra Moksha, which is not really, it wasn't that I spoke on Radha and Krishna, but I spoke about what's there in the verses, about the love and the devotion. And then she asked questions, you know. Professor Bryant really likes her, too, as a student. He told me that, you know.
Mm.
He's a very sweet. And, you know, she asked a few questions, and we really bonded, you know? She said she's going to write me, too.
Yeah, she told me that, yeah. Yeah, she. Yeah. I was so happy
very
for
nice.
Her. I was really happy for her.
She's very sweet, Gail. Very sweet.
Yeah, she is.
But you have to discipline her and do everything else, but she's a very nice person. Yeah.
No, it comes through,
Okay.
Anyway, I do have a question of my own.
Yeah.
Do I have time still?
Yeah,
I just wanted to elaborate because you were making a distinction between our, you know, you said that when we have love for God, you know, then we will qualify to please Him. You know, and I thought it was interesting because, you know, I mean, having love for God is pleasing in itself to Him. I mean, that's the, the, I mean, that's that devotional service right there, isn't it? Just having
it is.
So I mean, if you could just like.
Well, it's described in the Shastras when Baba comes. When Baba comes, it's a descent of the Lord's Ladini Sambit Shakti, which imbues the consciousness like an iron rod is in fire. So your mind becomes one with this intense energy and love. So that's the real service for God, is to give him the love. So it's inherently within our heart, Prabhupada said, just like a child walking. You know, the walking capacity comes out. But it appears evidently at higher stages of devotion. You love God so much, and that love itself is pleasing to God, but you also get the service to carry within your heart Krishna prema. You know, his internal potency kind of comes into the heart also, something like that. This is an issue that's a little bit subtle, and it's, you know, I have to reconcile two things. That one, that by nature we are devotees of Krishna and the love comes from our heart, but in the same sense, there is something that descends. So that's my reconciliation of both concepts.
That's what I need to have reconciled.
I thought
you know, the fact that well, I guess it went over my head. Okay.
I'm saying it's definitely in one's heart, right? One's love, and that's what pleases Krishna. But there's also an energy of love that comes to one. And it's described, I'm just saying what's described in the Shastra, that like an iron rod in fire, the iron rod becomes the fire. You can't distinguish it. So in the same sense, your mind, your consciousness becomes love of Krishna. But it's something that descends from Krishna. So I don't know what the reconciliation is. It doesn't mean that it's not in the heart. There's something in the heart that comes out, enables one to serve Krishna. But Krishna also bestows something. That's why Baba is Sudurabha, why it's given by Krishna. Because it controls him, so he doesn't easily give it. Yeah. This is an example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I'm going to use this verse many, many times, right? It sometimes these things can't be expressed in words.
Yeah, I'll follow up on email with the fire, you know, the iron rod and fire analogy. You know,
Okay. You may do that. Okay. And give my regards to Nayase.
Nayase. Nayase. Thank you. I will.
Nayase. Please give my regards
to
Nayase. Tell her it was my pleasure to see her sitting there in the front.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was great that both of you came to the Bhagavad Gita class, you know? That was
mm-hmm.
so nice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't live far from the university, do you?
Not at all, no.
It's not that easy to get into Rutgers, is it? You have to have a certain standard, right?
Yeah, well, I guess so. She did very well academically in high school. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I could see she's quite bright, you know?
Mm.
She's quite bright. Yeah. It's so nice to see her interest, too. You know what I'm saying? That she took the Bhagavatam class, and took the, you know, comes to the Bhakti Club, right? And it was nice
mm-hmm.
to see Gopika there, too. She's a fine young lady, too. You know?
Yeah, I'm so happy for Gopika because, you know, Gopika does a lot to, you know, in supporting Nayase, you know. She's like a big support. I'm going to be so sorry to see her graduate, you know, because she's a lot of the driving force behind Nayase too, you know.
Oh, well, that's good. Got a good role model. Really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a very good role model, yeah.
Okay. Okay, Gail? Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay?
Thank you also. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll see you Saturday.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj, yes.
Okay. Actually, you know, that somehow anybody can get on the phone, right? But somehow the core group, it happens to be from Jersey. I mean, some of the core group on both classes, yourself and Govardhana Bharti, you know. That's nice. Mm-hmm. At least part of the core group. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept the most humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Krishna. So if they're not from New Jersey, they will. Go ahead.
In tandem with the question of Mother Gail, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I wanted to get in a clearance, idea about that. Itta Siddha Krishna Prem Shaddha Kabu Noi Sravanadi Shuddha Chitri Kore Udoy. So if it is eternal that, you know, we have love for God, then why you have to love God to serve Him?
What's that?
Because Nitya Siddha, Chaitanya Charitamrita is, you know,
yeah.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that, you know, it is eternal. It is part of our soul's, you know, quality to love God.
Well, I have to say two things. I'm trying to reconcile something. Generally, that verse is also interpreted two ways. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. That verse also says that it's eternally existing. It doesn't necessarily say it's eternally existing in the heart. It just says it's something that's eternally existing. In the verse, it doesn't say where it's eternally existing. But Prabhupada has translated that it's eternally existing in the heart. So yes. But still, there's an experience of bhava. Bhava just doesn't come from the heart. Bhava comes from also Krishna. Right?
Yes.
So we can make, we can consider the bhava then the water. And the seed of prema is in our heart. But, you know, something comes down. And it's considered a potency of Krishna. So that's I've tried to reconcile this for years, you know, because there appears to be two contradictory things.
Yeah.
So how to reconcile it? That's my reconciliation. That there are two things that are going on, that there's something situated in the heart that blossoms. And at the same time, it's energized, let's say. Then we can say it's energized by something that comes from Krishna. And thank you for that. You know, but look in the verse and see if Nitya Krishna Siddha Prem necessarily does have to absolutely refer, besides the translation we have, which I'm accepting now, but if it necessarily says where it's located, or it just says that it's eternally existing.
Okay. I'll do more.
All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I have in my mind. Go ahead. What's that?
Did you get my email?
No.
Oh, okay. So I'll send it again.
Send it again, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm enjoying. I'm sitting here in Professor Brian's guest room.
Yeah.
You know? And he's such a nice Vaishnava. I mean, even though he had to go all day today to the university, he woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and cooked so that I had prasad. He's a real Vaishnava, a real wonderful Vaishnava. You know, I told him he didn't have to do that. I can easily make for myself and things like that. But no, he just has that culture to serve guests and, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, it's Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Govardhan, okay, so I'm coming on Saturday. What time should I be there?
4 o'clock, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, you know me. I come on time.
Yeah, actually, okay. I wanted to invite because Nandalal Prabhu, I didn't have his phone number to call, so
who?
This invitation.
Who?
Nandalal Prabhu.
Well, I'm very proud of him. He lives in Virginia. I'm going to have to fly out there for a program, and then he'll have to invite you. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, you're invited to come, Nanda Dulal. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Actually, that's... Anyway, I'll send you a detailed email that, so that, you know, I want to get you...
Yeah, I do want to come out there for sure.
Yeah, so...
I do want to come out there.
Okay.
Okay, so go over on. I'll be there at 4. I'm looking forward to it a lot. Very enthusiastic to come.
Expect a big crowd, Maharaj.
What?
Big crowd is coming, at least 100 people.
100 people? Where are they all going to fit?
Because everybody wants.
I liked it last time that at least I was sitting above. Yeah, I understand. A lot of people are coming. Okay, good. I'm becoming popular. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. So, thank you all. Hare Krishna. Chakopa.